Hello, friends. Welcome to the Art Girl on Fire podcast. My guest today is Shannon McLaughlin. She is a psychic medium, a massage therapist, a Reiki healer, and much more. I'm very excited to sit down and talk with her today. We do have a trigger warning. There are mentions of sexual abuse in this episode. So if that is not something you're comfortable with, go ahead and skip this one. Thanks for listening. Welcome to the show, Shannon.
Yeah, thank you for having me and for being able to have the space for other people to come on and share their truth. I feel like that's really important. So thank you.
Welcome. I was reading over your social media that you sent me, and as we were talking just before we pushed the record button, a lot of people that are healing, you know, we end up becoming healers ourselves. And I think that's really the whole point. The more of us who heal individually, I think collectively we'll do the whole world a lot of good.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, that's basically, I feel like we go through these like initiations.
Yes, where, we do.
And it's like, I feel like the most powerful healers have gone through some of the most tremendous amounts of pain, and things that have been able to kind of spark that light in them to be able to go down the path of healing, whatever modality that might be. Mm-hmm. So
I agree. Yeah. I agree. It's a definitely, you know, the alchemy and the transmutation of pain into healing and into personal power is that truth hit me real big a few years ago that, you know, the power of transmutation, like that's what healing is, because we start healing ourselves, like you'd mentioned, and then there comes a point where it spills out onto other people. It's this big web of healing and love. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah. So initially, like just to share briefly about what I've experienced, I feel like I went through, you know, a lot of things in my life. And I wasn't even aware of transmutation and even what that was a couple years ago. And I realized that, you know, we carry energy in our bodies, trauma and things that have been stuck for not just this life, but lifetimes. And so I've been working tremendously hard and, you know, started tapping into that psychic mediumship. It came to me. It wasn't like I woke up one day and, you know, decided that that's what I was going to do. It just came to me. I didn't have a choice. And then I started getting into yoga to help heal myself and Reiki. And now I just graduated massage school. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to be able to share all of these modalities with people, in hopes that they're able to find the inspiration to be able to heal themselves.
Definitely. So. Definitely. I think too, that step-by-step, you know, one thing leading into another thing is really beautiful. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you heal, it's layers. It's so multidimensional. And I know with my path, it started with yoga, like 25 years ago, just as a casual practice. But then as life happens to you, and like you said, these huge painful experiences, you know, if you have a modality where you can just get a foothold, whether it is energy or yoga or essential oils or whatever, like something that you can start with, then it starts to open the doors to the other things.
Yeah, it's almost like a puzzle to me.
And yeah.
Like, you know, a long time ago, I had all the tools. I had these tools. And, you know, another thing is breath work. That is a huge one.
Yes.
Transmutation especially, but, you know, I had all the tools, but I didn't have the, I guess the dedication to be able to stick with them and do them. And it wasn't till I had, you know, like I said, the initiation where I had actually gotten into a really bad car accident a year ago. And, I broke my foot and my arm, and I was actually supposed to start massage school 4 days after this. So I'm like, why is this happening? The moment that it happened, I'm like, why? And, you know, I go through the process and, I realized that in hindsight, I actually needed that experience to be able to make me sit on my ass, because I had to, so that I could look at myself mm-hmm. and so I could be still. And eventually I started doing yoga. I started doing breath work and meditation and being consistent with it on the daily. Mm-hmm. And it has been literally, I can't even tell you just how much I've grown over the past year from allowing myself to be dedicated to the practices and to actually use them. And it's been a huge catalyst. So it is, it's so beautiful.
It You're is. Absolutely. I annoy my family so much when I'm like, you guys, just, if you just meditate. And I don't nag or anything, but like, when they tell me like, oh, I've got this going on, or I wish I could, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, just meditate. I promise. Like, I know it's hard at first, but I promise it's so good. It helps everything, like literally everything. Because you know, you get into that quiet place and all the distractions are gone and you're not just inundated with information and sounds and whatever. And mm-hmm. like when you can really tune into yourself, like you hear what you need to hear and you learn what you need to learn, you know, and think the beginning of my journey, I think a lot of people do this. I wanted like every book I could find, everything I could find online. Just I was so hungry for information mm-hmm. and that's good. But then like you have to kind of balance that out with just solitude. Like you have to have solitude to heal. You have to make that time and that quietness in your life and just listen to intuition and listen to spirit. Like mm-hmm. information is great, but to get wisdom, you have to, like you said, you have to practice. You have to practice it and be consistent, you know.
And it's finding that balance. Like I've noticed, and we're living in a world where it's like, go, go, go. You know, we don't take the time and to slow down. And it's not until we have these experiences where it's like the universe is trying to get your attention.
Oh yeah.
And it's actually, you know, you said that because it was a few days ago. After graduation, one of the women has a beach house and I went over there and she had one of her friends over there and we were just all chatting. And they were talking about something and then it just came to me. I'm like, you know, what would help with this is meditation. And they're all like, oh, I know. And like, we search outside of ourselves externally for, you know, even just like self-help books, like you said, or, you know, massage, energy work, all of these things, which is obviously a tool and can help us. But like where the real medicine is, you know, inside, exactly like you had said. So, but no, I definitely resonate with that. And it has been, you know, even just a lesson in itself for me to learn how to find that balance between my masculine and feminine side over the past year.
Oh, and same. I think I finally got- I've been working on the same thing.
Yeah, we're on the same. And so, like, finally, like, I can find this stillness and inner peace inside of myself, and I don't need to, you know, it's not like I'm searching externally for anything. It's coming from within, and I finally feel this joy and this happiness and this love inside of me, you know, that I've been seeking externally, and that's not where it's at.
Well, so, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, absolutely. And anyone who's hearing this right now, I challenge you, please look inside and just get still. And I know it might be difficult, you know, like when you're meditating, it's like you said, it's like, I feel so pulled to other things outside of myself and what's going on. But if you just kind of allow yourself to disconnect from that and, you know, tune into your body and feel your body, I'm telling you, it gets easier. So I also got these really cool hematite anklets mm-hmm. that have really so with grounding. So if you just get like they were gifted to me, but you can just get some string from the store and these beads. I know you can mm-hmm. see them here.
Yeah,
they've helped me so much with just allowing myself to. The moment I put them on, I just like sucked into my body and it was very powerful. So
that helps a lot. I do a lot of grounding practices. I've been my whole life like a severely anxious person and this path has helped more than anything that I've tried to deal with that. And grounding is so important. I'm always telling people like walk outside barefoot, just get your shoes off. Get outside mm-hmm. in the grass and the dirt, even for 5 minutes. Like it doesn't have to be all day long. And the same with meditation. Like, can you sit still for 5 minutes and just breathe? Like, you don't have to empty your mind. You don't have to transcend dimensions. Just sit and breathe for 5 minutes. Yeah. If you do that every day, like, you'll start to snowball, and you can build to 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. Like, you'll get there, you know. But like you said, everyone wants, like, right now, quick fix, relief, you know.
Yes, and I think that it's funny that we're just talking about this, because I literally was having this exact conversation with somebody. But yeah, people expect these, you know, ginormous things to happen when they're meditating, and it's not always like that. And that's not, yes, magic comes. And I have a lot of stories about things that have come through in meditations for me, especially past lives. But, you know, start small. And it's really just learning how to get into your body so that eventually you can get to the point where things do come to you naturally, and you are able to channel information in that way as well. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, you kind of prime yourself to, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess vibrate at the right frequency to build the life that you want and the healing that you want. And, you know, it isn't an instant thing. Like, the modalities that you and I both practice, like, they offer powerful healing and comfort when people need comfort, and, you know, massage, instant pain relief, you know, but it's something that if you're not consistent with it, then it's just kind of surface level. Like, I tell my Reiki clients, like, I can do a chakra balancing for you and get your energy body feeling good. We can relieve some stress. But if you're not doing the work in your daily life, it's not going to go much deeper than that. And there's nothing wrong with that. If someone's not ready to jump into this kind of life, it's not for everyone all the time. And I totally, like, we're here to facilitate healing when people are ready, you know?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, a little or a lot, but when they're ready to jump in, like, I want to give people the tools to where they can find their own healing. Like, we are doing healing work, but we're not the healers, quote unquote.
Yeah.
We are healers, but we're not their healers. Like, we give them the tools and the guides to find that healing themselves, you know?
Yeah. No, I really, really love that, how you worded that. But even, you know, like you were talking about with the consistency, I had a thought, and now it's like, it went away.
It'll come back.
Yeah, hopefully.
So what did your childhood and early life look like? Like, how were you before you started healing, and what kind of, I know you said your initiation, it kind of catapulted you, but what is your path that brought you to this place?
Yeah. So, you know, when we were talking about initiations, I feel like it happened when I was very young. Mm-hmm. So I was born into, a family. My mom and dad were, addicts. Mm-hmm. And, at the age of, I had a lot of, you know, experiences that have happened, a lot of trauma, mental, physical, sexual, emotional abuse. And then at the age of 7, we got taken away and went to foster care for a short period of time. And I have 2 brothers as well. And it was me and my younger brother went with 1 grandmother. And then my other brother went to my other grandmother. And it was hard. I feel like my parents would randomly show up at certain periods of my life. And so they weren't completely out, but they were still there. Mm-hmm. So, it was a little brainwashing in a sense, where they would, you know, say things that it just was not a healthy dynamic at all. And then, I had a lot of anger and things like that I needed to work through, a lot of confusion. But then eventually we moved to, from Northern Virginia to a small county in Virginia that was exactly what we needed. So pretty much, started going to school and, you know, meeting friends, which was not something that was normal for me, because, I literally didn't go to school half the time in kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. So I had to repeat second grade. And so when I got there, I just started being able to, I don't know, have a childhood in a sense. But there was still this aspect of me that had to grow up very quickly. Mm-hmm. And then when I lived with my grandmother at the time, I'm not sure if I had said that, but she was the one who raised us. And when we moved to King George, a small county, my aunt, uncle moved there as well. So I had my cousins there, and my dad ended up moving to King George with us as well. So we ended up living with him, and then he relapsed. So we had to move back with my grandma. And so we just started kind of butting heads. I was not able to live there because I just the anger and stuff that was coming up. And I feel like she triggered that aspect of me. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like there's a lot of past life stuff involved as well. Oh, so yeah. I could go. Yeah. Eventually I moved with my aunt and uncle, and I played soccer and field hockey, and I found some sort of stability when I was living with them, which I hadn't had previously. It felt like we were kind of all over the place. And so when I graduated, I left. Something had happened where I ended up getting kicked out, and I went through, I think this is where it started. I ended up going through a phase where I was kind of experimenting, and I was dating a girl at the time, and it was new for me, and I was drinking a lot, and kind of, you know, tapping into these addictive aspects of myself, which mm-hmm. I needed to learn. And I ended up, I had a conversation with my mom on the phone, and she's like, you know, Shannon, what's going on? Like, I can tell something's not right. And I just kind of had this, you know, awakening of like, what am I doing? And so all of a sudden, you know, after that phone call, I started getting these signs about angels. And I had this feeling that my mom was going to pass away. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, she was an addict. So, so at that time, I picked up the phone. I said, "Hey, mom, what are you doing?" She lived hours away. She said, "I have an appointment on this Tuesday. Do you want to come down?" And I said, "Yes." And, so I went to go get my older brother. So I drove like 2 hours out of my way, and then we drove 4 hours to Roanoke. And you know, when I saw her, I mean, she looked terrible, mm-hmm. but it was also one of the best visits I've ever had in my life. And you know, I got to just lay there, and have her hold me. And like, I just will never forget like that moment that we shared, because I only have seen her a handful out of my life, since I was seven. So, but it ended up after that visit, about a month later, she did die. Mm-hmm. And, that was, you know, another initiation for me. And that's actually where I started waking up. Mm-hmm. So, after that process, I went through, obviously there was a sense of relief for me because she was an addict. She was suffering. And I, you know, I was waiting for that day, to yeah. be honest. So I started doing the work.
What did it start with for you?
So, I, you know, my mom, before she had passed away, she had gotten me a journal, and, she's like, "You need to journal." I'm like, "Mom, I am not going to journal. Like, get out of here."
Yeah. I love journaling.
Me too. Now I do.
Yep.
And so telling me, so of course I was going to be rebellious and not, you know, and so after the fact, when she had passed, I picked up a journal and I went, there was this little sandy beach near my house that I went to every day for literally 2 years. And I journaled my heart out. And, you know, it initially started, you know, I would start journaling when I was angry or, you know, feeling some sort of emotion coming up. And then it turned into, "Oh, I want to share this, you know, when I'm happy, this experience that I had." It was So it was a beautiful process. And through that, that is when I started realizing that, oh my God, I have these gifts. Mm-hmm. So how it happened was, I was going to, bring my dad somewhere. He was in West Virginia at the time. So I had a journey kind of ahead of me, and I was at the crack of dawn. It was still dark out. And, I ended up at this road. I was following the GPS, and, it was taking me down this dead end road. And to my right, there was a church, and I just started getting the chills. Like, I cannot even put into words how intense and powerful this feeling was. And I started hyperventilating because of the feeling. And I, at this time, at the moment, I didn't know what was happening, but I'm pretty sure that I was going through some kind of portal. Mm-hmm. And at the end of this road, there was this huge lit up cross. And I could not get myself together. So I turned around and left, and I was like, okay, something much bigger is going on here. Somebody's trying to get my attention.
Right.
So, yeah. So when you were talking about, like, you had, you know, made up a point about how, you know, we start researching all these things and wanting to do all these things. That's how it started for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I became kind of obsessive in a way, and, you know, researching. And so I'm like, all right, I must be psychic or something's going on here. So I ended up doing this. I started practicing. Mm-hmm. So I went to the beach one day, and, I was using my clairaudience. Mm-hmm. So I was practicing, you know, what are all the things that you hear right now? And then try to hear them all at the same time. And then all of a sudden I heard bomb in my head, and I'm like, bomb. Okay. So 15 seconds later, three bombs went off. Cause I live next to a naval base. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, did that just happen? And then 10 minutes later, there were these kids off in the distance, and I heard, he's going to find something. And 10 seconds later, he was like, Georgie, I found something. And I'm like, oh my goodness. What is happening? Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20 minutes later, again, the bomb thing happened a second time. So after that happened, I, you know, started doing something crazy and approaching people. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I would be like, hey, you know, are you open to a message? So that I did not, you know, invade their space or privacy, right. You know. And, you know, people are like, yeah. And so I would let them know, like, I could feel at this time whether or not it was masculine or feminine energy. And at this time, I was actually working at Starbucks, and a woman came through, and my head just started spinning like crazy, and nobody else was there. So mm-hmm. It was just her who pulled up, and I'm like, all right. And I could feel it was a masculine energy. So she pulled up to the window, and I said, hey, I know this is going to sound very strange, and I was wondering if you would be open to a message. She said, yes. I said, did you by any chance lose a male in your life who passed away in a tragic way? And she said, her eyes just got big. And she was like, yes. And I'm like, I just want you to know, like, he's around, and he just wanted me to share this message with you and let you know that he's okay. And she put a $10 tip in there, and I'm like, okay, something's going on here. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I started discreetly, you know, I did not come out about it at all, but I started giving free readings for a year to get reviews. And it turns out that everything that I was channeling and bringing through was correct. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically kind of how the process started. But obviously there was, you know, some battles in between there of like, you know, we started, you know, talking to people about it, people I knew, family, and, you know, they thought I was schizophrenic and crazy. And so I had to learn how to pave my own path and mm-hmm. use the rejections as stepping stones. And honestly, it did nothing but fuel me and motivate me and to believe in myself and know that this is my truth. This is who I am. And nobody is going to tell me otherwise. So So that's kind of how that process went and how it began for me. Mm-hmm. And so since then, I've had met a lot of mentors and people who have been able to kind of give me more insight on my journey and direction. And to them, I'm so grateful because I would not be here where I am today without them.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time, well, all the time, when the student's ready, the teacher shows up. You know, you bring the people in that you need, and that happens. You had just told the story about Starbucks, and you had told the lady,
given her
a message.
So, yeah.
So then,
so
what's
that's
next
pretty
for
much,
you?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm trying to think of what happened after. Oh yeah. So I started giving free readings for about a year, mm-hmm. and in exchange for reviews. And it turns out everything that I was channeling was correct. Mm-hmm. And so I was just learning how to play with energy at this time. And I had created this, you know, obviously this spiritual dictionary for myself that we need so that I know what different feelings or images and things like that mean. So for example, somebody who has cancer, I will get a cloud that goes over my head and it just feels very heavy. Mm-hmm. For somebody who's diabetic, I might get like a limb that's missing or a chocolate. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn what these signs meant through the process of this happening. And so even to this day, I'm still getting new symbols and signs and sensations. And so every energy, every reading is different. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so magical through that process. So it's so fun.
It really is. Like, and you're a Reiki master healer as well.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
So I'm a Reiki healer too. I'm about to be master level.
Nice.
I'm studying right now. I'm so excited because I want to start teaching. Mm-hmm. When you're doing distance Reiki,
yes.
Okay, and you see what you see, like I so can relate to that when you're talking about different symbolism and, you know, in session, mm-hmm. like we'll see something that makes no sense to us, mm-hmm. but we just take it for what it is, bring that information back. And when you're mm-hmm. talking to your client, they're like, no way. And they explain what that means to them. And you're just
exactly.
like, every time, 100%, like there is no fail rate.
And
like,
it's mind-blowing.
Yeah. Yeah, mind-blowing. Because when I first started, especially distance Reiki, like in person, you can physically feel that, and you can, you know, it's very straightforward. And I also see things in person sessions too, but distance work is like a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And you know,
I don't have much experience with distance, to be honest.
Yeah.
I feel that somebody needs it. I ask spirit, I'm like, are they open to receiving this? Is this okay?
Yeah.
I'll send it to people, you know, like my brother mm-hmm. or my grandma, you know, somebody or a friend of mine who's going through something difficult. So I will do it in that way, but mainly I do it in person.
Mm-hmm.
And my gifts actually didn't start opening up like in a huge way until I had my accident.
Yeah.
So it was almost, can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Turn up just a little bitty bit. I gotcha. Okay.
We're good. Yeah, it's raining.
It's all right.
Somebody, but so yeah, so pretty much when I was in school and doing massage, I was working on a woman, and all of a sudden I had this realization. I looked up at the curtain and I saw a snake, and I'm like, it came to me. I knew exactly why I'd gotten to that accident. I called on snake medicine right before it actually happened. Because I felt that I needed it.
Yeah.
And, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Okay. So yeah, I called on snake medicine and all of a sudden, bam, I got into that accident and I knew exactly why it happened in that moment when I was working on her, because, I needed to be able to clear my channel and work through some things to allow the healing energy to be able to come through me in the way that I needed and other people needed.
Definitely.
So, Yeah. And so now when I'm working on people, things are changing. So I noticed that I'm connecting with my star family. So in ways that I hadn't realized before. Mm-hmm. So now it's like I'm using not just my hands, but adding other things. So sometimes they want to put in certain stars or symbols or things into chakras mm-hmm. to be able to help them and assist them mm-hmm. Through working through some sort of block or healing. Or I'll use my voice, like humming mm-hmm. or vowels that I need to sing to be able to bring or move the energy through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all kind of, it's becoming an art is yeah. what it is. You find your own unique flow of doing things.
Oh yeah.
You're creating it as your own art. And, that's why I feel like it's just so beautiful. Even with being in a group of women, when I was doing massage, I noticed that every person was so different in the way that they were healing and using mm-hmm. their hands. And it's just so magical and beautiful how everyone, it's so unique.
Yeah. Every healer does a little bit different, but it's all wonderful.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, but it all comes together. Like, it all makes perfect sense as yeah. a whole, as a collective, mm-hmm. you know? It's huge medicine.
So for people that may not be familiar, can you explain a little bit about your star family and how that plays into your yeah. healing practice and stuff?
Yeah, so it's actually fairly new to me because I am consistently working on myself and becoming more aware of what's around me. They've always been around me, but I didn't realize exactly who they were mm-hmm. until a little while ago. So it's fairly recent, but I went through this experience where I had felt some sort of energy inside of my body. I know that might scare some people, but entities are real and they're nothing to be afraid of. It's just an energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt this inside of me, and I was talking to my mentor. I said, there is something in me and nobody can confirm this, but I trust myself and I know that something does not feel right. And so she's like, all right, I'm going to refer you out to somebody. So I ended up going to this woman at a spiritual shop here in Virginia Beach, walked in, and we were both working with each other because I had these intuitive abilities. I'm also able to help guide her as well through the process. All of a sudden I just start feeling like this loving presence, and I always call them the blue people.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they are a combination of Palladian, Arcturian, and Sirians.
Mm-hmm.
I feel deeply connected to all three. I don't know why, but mostly Palladian.
Mm-hmm.
But the being that came to me was Palladian, and he was a male. And I could feel how we were like brothers and sisters is what it felt like. And I just felt this unconditional love and support. And I knew that they were there showing up for me through that process. And so then the more that I'm giving readings, I notice that they continuously pop in for me to help assist other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in a reading the other day, and a woman had, I started feeling this energy in my stomach. I said, I feel like I'm pregnant. I said, do you have a baby? And she said, I lost a baby, and I, you know, obviously I'm like, oh, my condolences. And I said, well, I feel like there's just this energy that's there that either was purged or needed to be purged. And so all of a sudden the galactic family shows up, my star family, and I'm like, well, thank you for being here. What are you bringing? What kind of medicine do you have for us? And so I saw them, and they had this little circular sphere. It almost looked like a star, but like so many points to the star,
mm-hmm.
Almost like a ball in a sense. So more 3D. And they wanted me to insert this star ball into her sacral solar plexus area. And I said, okay. And I asked for her permission to be able to do so, and said yes. And so we were able to do that. And I was told that the reason why she had lost the child was to assist her with purging some trauma, past life trauma, from her body. And that was basically what happened there. And so the other day, I was doing a Reiki session on one of the women that I had graduated massage school with, and I got to her heart, and there was almost like this slit on her heart, and I just started doing these writing with my hands, just symbols, and they wanted to give me, they were there assisting. And it's almost like I'm like, give me the codes that I need, please, so that I can help heal and give the medicine that they need. And so I can feel them putting the codes through me. And it's so wild because it's not me. It's coming from a higher place, and this is who it's coming from. And I know that this is, working with galactic being star people is, it's fairly new. Well, it's not really, but it's awakening within the collective. So becoming more prominent, and people are becoming more aware. There's more sightings. They've always been here, but it's now that we're raising our vibration, we're more at that level where we're able to be one and communicate with them in a way we haven't been able to before. So we're waking up, and it's not scary. They're not here to harm us or with bad intent. They're here to assist us. Although, we are at a spiritual war right now, and there is a battle against the dark and the light. And it's up to you to feel in your energy body and your heart and know whether or not something is dark or light. And I choose to go with the light. So that's what I'm all about.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So, in your opinion, I know there are different schools of thought on this, healing gifts and psychic gifts and whatnot. A lot of people think you're either born with it or you're not, or it's a practiced skill. I think it's a little bit of both. What do you think?
I would agree. I would definitely say I do 100% believe that all of us have the ability.
I do too.
I feel like, yeah, with more skill, obviously it develops. But I do feel that it depends on frequency and what we choose to. What paths we decide to go down, whether that's, like I said, the light, the dark, and we all have it, the light and the shadow. There's nothing, good or bad. It just is. But the more that you feed the light, I feel the more tapped in, the more aware, the more open, abundant you are, which means that the more receptive you are to receiving that information.
100%, 100%.
Yes, and I have come across people, I can feel if people are doing dark, they call it black magic, which is not something I want to take part in, but I feel that I have been attacked before by certain people, and targeted. But I'm also protected, and I'm not naive like I probably once was. I was actually told by my old mentor. She was like, "Shannon, you're naive," and I'm like, "What?" But I totally was. I was naive. I thought, "Oh, I can just pray and it'll be fine." No, it's not always like that. And yes, you are guided, you are protected, but it's important that you know how to work with energy, how to clear energy, and how to expand your energy around yourself for energetic protection, but also the people you're holding space for.
That's so important.
But no, I do feel that everybody has the ability to be able to tap in. I also think, it could be stronger for other people because they have been doing this more, not just in this life, but other lives as well.
I agree. Yeah.
Which probably give people, the ability to be able to tap into it more quickly. And for whatever reason in this lifetime, it has been fairly easy for me to be able to tap in, which I'm very grateful for. And it's allowed me to be able to heal at a more rapid rate. And it's definitely not been easy. And it's the journey, though, is what I remind myself.
Right.
The journey to allow ourselves to just not get stuck in this rate of wanting to heal constantly, but, you know, also learning to have fun and to enjoy the moment and to play and to laugh.
Yeah, we have to have a balance between our spirituality and just our humanness. Like, we are on Earth, we chose to be here. And so we have these corporal bodies and this matter around us, this environment that we are in, and we should experience that, but also balance that with our spiritual life and our healing. And I think a lot of times too, on this journey, you can start to get exhausted by doing the spiritual work. And it's really important to rest and give your brain a break and, you know, your emotions, some downtime. Like, I make it a point every few weeks or so just to read, like, just garbage fiction, just like a mystery, a crime novel, just, you know, whatever, you know, just, what's on Thrift Books this week? Let me see, just something that doesn't mean anything, and just let myself enjoy it. It doesn't have to be a thing. And that has helped me a great deal, just with my energy level. And just finding some balance, you know, just having fun being a human sometimes, and not every day is not, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's like, what I was about to say exactly, was giving yourself grace to be human, because we are. And it's like, there's no perfection. That has been such a huge lesson for me, is that, you know, I felt like I've always had to strive or reach a certain point, and to be this perfect, it's not a thing. It really is not. And it's, you know, just coming to the understanding that, you know, like I said, we are light, we are dark, and to accept both parts of ourselves. And we are in a dense reality here, you know, so it's, it can be tough. It is so tough here.
Yeah. Well, I tell people, like, okay, if you're ready to heal, like, it's not overnight. This is years, lifelong work, you know, and there is some difficulty to it, but living a life unhealed is also difficult. And in my opinion, it's more difficult, and in a worse way difficult, in a darker way difficult.
I totally agree.
And so
I said, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I said the other day, I was speaking to somebody, I said, it's far more painful to live a life unhealed than it is to go through it. It's almost like going through it is, it's sharp, but it's, but the reward is so much greater.
Yeah, because, you know, in the denser, like, before we know what we know now, like, when you suffer, it's almost like there's no reason. And even in healing, sometimes there is no grand reason. Like, we're on Earth, and like you said, it's dense, and sometimes you just suffer because you do. Like, every single thing is not this grand enlightenment. But at least when you have the tools for healing, you can kind of get to the bottom of things a lot quicker. Whether it's just emotions that are triggered in you in certain situations, or if you have, you know, an illness that you deal with regularly, like, learning how to cope and to live in this reality is a lot easier when you've got some tools in your toolbox to kind of help you along, you know?
Well, that's actually, that is what, I mean, what an enlightened being is. An enlightened being is not somebody with a lack of emotion, like, they're in bliss all the time.
Right.
That's not fact. We are humans, and an enlightened being is somebody who knows how to deal with the emotion and not become the emotion and be detached from it. And like you said, use the tools to help them move through it.
Right.
And it's actually funny, because I looked that up the other day. I like had this thought, because I'm like, there's no way that somebody can just be blissful all the time. I mean, that's not true. I feel like it can be that way. But
I think to be that way, you'd have to be very detached from reality, almost to the point of psychosis.
Yeah.
be, you know, unless you're just called to be a monk on a mountaintop, and there's a place for that, and we need them. But also, like, if you're going to live in the real world and be a part of society, you know, you can be optimistic and you can handle bad situations more gracefully. But you can't just like block it all out and like, I live on a cloud on a, at the end of a rainbow every day and it's fantastic. And plus, why I wouldn't want to go to a healer for help that never felt anything or went through anything. Like, they wouldn't know what to do with me and the suffering that I've been through. They'd just be like, well, just smile. The world is great. I'd be like, well, yeah.
Okay. You know, you mentioned psychosis. Have you ever had an experience like that?
Not directly. I have had very deep depression, depressive episodes. They're episodic for me. And some have been pretty scary. The past few years have been a lot better because of, you know, what I do. I feel like I have a handle on things. And I'm not anti-medication at all. I'm currently not taking anything, but I have in the past when I was at kind of a crisis level, and it helped me kind of get my sea legs back, so to speak, so that I could have some energy. Cause I was it got to where I was so lethargic and my energy was so just dense, you know, that I couldn't do the work that I wanted to do. And so I did, I was medicated for a while. And yeah, I think in this type of work too, we have to be mindful of where people are at in their journey and not tell people to do crazy shit that's going to be harmful to them. You know, my husband, he's okay with me sharing things. He is bipolar, has bipolar disorder, and he has to take medication, stabilizing medication, to function. And so if I just told him, well, like, if you meditated every day and did this, this, and this, you could just throw your medication in the garbage. No, I don't think like that. I don't.
It could be dangerous. It could be dangerous.
Yeah, very, very. And he could get very physically ill as well. And, you know, his journey in this life right now is where he's at. And he is not wrong to be on medication. And he's not wrong because he has an illness. Like, I'm not wrong because of anxiety and depression in my life. Like, we all are where we are, and there's no one size fits all. And I really, really, like we were talking about dark and light. I think there's like this dark side of the healing community and the spiritual community that tells people this crazy shit that is so harmful and causes a lot more pain than helps heal the pain, you know?
Our body's best. We know as soul, we know what we need. So yeah, it's very helpful to go and get information from other people who have insight and wisdom, but always trust, be your own advocate and trust your own inner wisdom and guidance and what your body needs. That's really what matters. And, but yeah, I'm all for people doing what it is that they need to do. That's best for their bodies. And, the reason I asked that was because I did actually have an experience where through school where I had was getting body work done so consistently that I almost went into a state of psychosis because I was getting like, you know, we carry trauma. Stuff in our fascia and our muscles and
those trigger points, you know, they lock up and they hold memories inside them. And then when you release it, like trigger point work and acupressure and deep tissue work, like that stuff releases whether you're ready or not.
Well, and you know, and actually what brought me here, and I will share that with you. The reason I even came to Virginia Beach to go to school for massage was because of something that happened to me. Was it, I'm trying to think of years. I think it was maybe about a year and a half ago. I was getting a Reiki session done. A friend of mine, she got to my sacral and she was doing something with her hand and she said, oh, I smell cigarette smoke. And I said, me too. And all of a sudden I started having, I had a really traumatic memory come up that I was not aware of. So, and just trigger warning, you know, for anybody listening to this, it did involve sexual abuse. And so I started having this vision on the table that completely shocked my being. I almost everything around me just shattered, and I was just crying on the table. And I had a couple, you know, women there to support me. It happened exactly the way that it needed to. Mm-hmm. And my whole world fell apart. And, I always felt in my body that I was, but I never had memory. And so we do that. We can hide these experiences that are so traumatic, to help ourselves, you know, keep us safe. Mm-hmm. And so after that happened, I'm like, all right, I have to get to work. I need help. So I can't do this alone. Mm-hmm. So there was a woman that I met a couple years prior to that at a sweat lodge, that I had went to. And, I reached out to her on Facebook and, you know, I said, do you have experience with this, with sexual abuse, you know, trauma? And she said, yes, I do. So we set up, 3 appointments, once a month for 3 months. And I drove down 3 hours to go and see her. And, at that time she was doing massage energy work, and we were doing like, kind of like talk therapy, but she's also channels. So, mm-hmm. Basically, what I'm going to be doing. And, so through that process, it was almost like the catalyst that I needed to be able to help me work through it. And, it happened so fast. Like, I just can't even put into words. And I also went and did a vision quest, mm-hmm. On a mountain. I always speak of her because she's impacted my life in such a great way, but her name is Lakota One Heart. Mm-hmm. And, she's a medicine woman, and she lives in Abingdon, Virginia. And, she has like retreats and things like that. But yeah, I drove, 7 hours to go see her and to be on this mountain. And, it was such a wild experience, but I got everything that I needed out of that experience. I don't know if you want me to share, like,
yeah, you're free to share anything you want.
Okay. So, when I was there, we had to climb up to this specific spot on this mountain. Mm-hmm. And, we got up to the spot and we created a circle out of cornmeal for protection. And, I couldn't leave my circle unless I had to go to the bathroom. And, so it's funny cause I was there, I got everything situated and she left, but she's also, she can journey, which mm-hmm. means that if I'm up there and she can't see me, she can travel to me, in the spirit realm mm-hmm. to check and see how I'm doing. So it was very safe. And, so pretty much my toilet paper rolled down the hill out of my circle. Like, oh my gosh, I left my go get my toilet paper. And what do you know, 20 minutes later, she's walking up the hill and she's like, you cannot leave your circle. This is your circle of protection. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, Code, I will not leave my circle. I promise. So, before we'd actually, when I'd gotten there, I'm like, oh, what about animals? Like, what if, like, you know, a bear comes and tries to eat me? And she's like, you have a knife here. I'm going to give you this knife. You can cut their head off. I'm like, are you kidding?
Like, don't worry. Just a little.
Yeah. and so that night it was so cool, actually, just looking back, there was, shooting stars that were happening all that night. And I could see it. I was sleeping in a sleeping bag, so I didn't have a tent. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden though, I was laying there and there was this huge animal that came through, and I'm like, this is a bear. This has got to be a bear. And I was like freaking out low key, trying not to breathe because I didn't want it to feel my presence. And the next morning I woke up and Lakota was like, oh, there's horse tracks. And I'm like, no way. Like, it was a bear. So if I would have sat up, right? It was my fear. If I would have sat up, I just would have saw this cool horse. And, but she said that was your medicine. That, mm-hmm. that was part of the medicine of what you needed. So I was like, okay. And, so she went down and I spent that day making, prayer ties where you have these like square cloths mm-hmm. and you put tobacco in them and tie them on a string. And you use that as a meditation. So each one you set an intention or a prayer. And so I was doing that. She had got me some coloring, some colored pencils, and I was coloring in like a journal and just making art. And then all of a sudden my vision came to me and I got, everything that I had needed out of that experience. So pretty much, when I worked at a chiropractor's office a couple years prior to that, and a man came in and, he put his hand on the counter to give me his license. And when I saw his fingers, they reminded me of somebody else's fingers. Mm-hmm. And I immediately went and told my coworker, like the people who were around me, I said, and this is also a trigger warning, but, he was a child molester. Mm-hmm. And I thought that this was coming from a space from like a psychic aspect of myself. It was not. It was coming from a trauma, you know, mm-hmm. of myself. And so I, you know, but that vision came back to me. And the reason it came back to me was because the hands were not, he wasn't, but the person who violated me had the same hands as he did. They were very distinct and different. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's why I said that, was because it was this other person, not him. And so that vision came back to me because it revealed exactly who it was mm-hmm. and what I needed to know. And so later that evening, Lakota came up. I'm like, I had my vision. Like, I got what I needed. Can I come down? She's like, no, you can't come down. You took off work. You drove up here. You need to stay another night up here. I'm like, okay, you're right. So I slept another night down, on this mountain. And, that night I felt this like little critter next to me. And, I'm like, what is this? Like, I was freaking out. I'm like, but Shannon, you are not going to be afraid this time. You were going to sit up. You're going to look at whatever this is. So I sat up and next to me was a long snake. And I'm like,
oh. Snake medicine. There it is again.
And I'm like, you know, snakes, I was afraid of snakes. Like mm-hmm. it's one of my fears. And which is why I did call on the medicine, because I wanted to, you know, work through that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, all right, I rolled over very slowly. We're going to be friends tonight. Like, you know, having a conversation with a snake. And so I'm sitting there for hours and I'm like waiting for the sun to come up and my candle blew out and I'm like looking at the snake. I'm like, oh, it looks really weird. Like, what is that on the snake? So I took a lighter, lit it. And the whole time it was the edge of my blanket. My mind, I created this fear, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't real. So just like the bear, but it's what I needed. Mm-hmm. It was my fear. It was my subconscious that was coming up to show me something.
Yeah. Well, it brought you face to face with it so that you could heal it. And that's the thing, like that's the core, I think, of healing, whether it's shamanic healing, energy healing, Reiki, like whatever you're doing. When if you can look face to face with the things that have a hold on you, then you can start to work it out.
Absolutely.
You know, if you don't know, then you don't know. And you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. And so, that's basically what happened. And but the last night I got to sleep in the peace chamber. So it was on a cot, which is so much better than on that mountain, but still I'm very proud of myself that I did that. And also just so grateful for the guidance that I had gotten from Lakota and from that mountain and from spirit and for being able to show up for me in that way. And, after that, I had gotten the medicine that I needed. I left, I went on my journey and I'm like, why am I not doing massage? Mm-hmm. And so, that's what brought me here to Virginia Beach. And so I just graduated, and I'm really excited to be able to intertwine massage with my psychic mediumship and my energy work, potentially along with yoga as well. So that is my hope, to be able to do all of this work. So
that's awesome. Well, I'm excited for you and your new dimension to your healing and to your journey. That's really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel really, really excited and just really inspired, and just wanting to help as many people as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. So
that's cool. My quote unquote job, I guess, is I am also a hairstylist.
Awesome.
And cool. We moved away from where I was working about 3 years ago for my husband's job. It was just a much better opportunity. So I left that and came here to Knoxville. And basically, like you were talking about your initiation, like I'd had a couple already. And then coming here gave me like ultimate solitude.
Yes.
And we were here about a year when the pandemic hit. So like even more, like I couldn't even go out and make friends. We couldn't get together and get to know each other, you know? And so I was alone with myself, and I was able to do a lot of deep work here. And so like it was difficult, but it was also really beautiful. And then now in just a few months, we're going to move back to where my old job is, and I'm going to get back into it. And I want to add energy work to my salon work.
I love that.
Yeah. Right. Amazing. I'm so looking forward to it, and I'm not sure exactly what that's going to look like yet, but I think it's going to be awesome. And, you know, like with your massage therapy, it's like we have this physical work that we can do, but then you can add energetic work.
Yes.
And really meet people where they are, you know? And
well, we are the creator. We literally can create what we're in the new earth now. We are shifting dimensions, and we're not doing things the same way that we used to. We're here to use these healing abilities and these gifts that we have and be able to share that with people as medicine.
Yeah.
And wow, I feel that very strongly in my heart. Just what you shared. That's so beautiful. And I'm to see how that plays out for you. It's going to go really well.
Yeah, like definitely. I want to stay in touch with you too. I'm excited about your journey, and I want to keep talking to you and like see where you go and what you do and you know.
I think we both added each other on Instagram and things like that. We have phone numbers. Happy to be in touch, and I'm really, really excited. So, but another thing that I don't know why, but this came through, but maybe even adding, like, I don't know if you do tarot or like oracle
yes.
cards.
Yeah.
Even potentially pulling cards for people too, would be really, I would love that.
Like I think that would be a nice experience for people.
Depending on, you know, your clientele and who it
is. Yeah. Well, I've noticed too that as I've started this, I do travel home once a month to work in the salon. So I still have, I've kind of condensed my clientele into a small group, and I'll regrow it when I get back. But, As I've grown in this journey I'm on, the clients that I am attracting to my hair business are the clients I want.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And like, I'm pretty easygoing, and I love everybody. I can get along with all different people. Don't get me wrong. But there've been a few people in my hair business when I was younger and not real sure of myself that made me feel bad. And like, I don't want that type of clientele. I don't want this like aggressive energy coming in. But now I know how to shield myself. So, you know what I mean? There's a lot of tools I have now, but in the grand scheme, the clients that are coming to me are like, they're just lovely people. And sometimes they need medicine. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes I get medicine from them. Like, we share our stories, you know.
Yeah. And so like when we're more, so we're becoming more aligned with who we truly are, which means that we are going to attract our soul family and the people that, you know, are on that wavelength with us. Mm-hmm. And so obviously as time goes on, we shift and change and it changes, but you know, we're jumping up to new levels, and people who are meant to be in our lives are going to be there. And
oh, yeah.
Just like you said, when when the what was the quote when the student
Oh yeah, when the student's ready, the teacher appears.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know who said that's not my quote. Someone
yeah,
said
know,
it and I don't know who it was and I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Let's Google it and we'll find out. But yeah, this has been really lovely. I appreciate you taking time to sit down and talk with me. And I feel like your story is going to be really helpful to a lot of people. And that's really cool to me.
Thank you. Yeah. I, you know, I haven't really shared my story like this and, I didn't really go super into detail and depth, but one day I will be writing a book. And so, I'm just very, so grateful to you for being able to hold the space and allow me to be able to express that. And for me to be able to feel safe enough. So that says a lot about you.
I'm glad that you do. That's great. That's
yep.
great. Well, thank you. I will put all of your information in show notes so people can find you on your website and your social media. I just think it's awesome. So thank you so much.
Okay. We'll talk soon. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Bye.
You too.